next slide talks about how we handled percentages in the model agreements. There's a definition of percentage that actually specifies that the percentages must equal 100%. So we've made that clear. And then it also addresses the concept of adjusting percentages upon the purchase of a membership interest by the LLC. That would, you know, require an adjustment in the percentages of the members, the remaining members or the remaining percentages, or the issuance of additional membership interests. And the last presentation, Bob and Kayla talked about examples, how they like to put examples in their contracts. We have examples in the paper in footnote 26 of how percentages would be adjusted in particular circumstances that could actually be included as an exhibit to the agreement or could be included as part of the agreement. We didn't actually include them in the agreement, but I'm also a fan of examples. Even in a situation like this, it is relatively, it seems like it should be relatively simple and straightforward. Complex financing transactions or working capital adjustments, in an M&A deal, you have examples for that. But this is an area where, examples could be useful. And so, again, footnote 26 in the paper has examples of how the percentages would be adjusted on the redemption or issuance of additional interest, as well as addressing for voting purposes how to handle percentages. So you have the economic pie that always has to equal 100% and that will need to be adjusted if you redeem or buy back a person's interest or a part of their interest, or if you issue an additional interest. Also, though, when there are transfers amongst the parties or from a party to an outsider, when you have an assignee acquire an interest or you have transfers between the members, okay, we have examples as to how that affects the voting. The agreement itself addresses this, but the examples also address this. And there's no right or wrong to this. It's just to get you to think about it. In our model, we have if a member assigns a portion of the member's interest or the entire interest to another member, then we have that member who has received the interest being able to vote that percentage. They've already been admitted as a member. They're a member. They can vote that percentage. If a member assigns a portion of the member's interest to an assignee who is not admitted as a member, then we have the assigning member continuing to vote that interest. If the assignee is admitted as a member, then we have that assignee picking up the right to vote that percentage, and the assigning member is no longer voting that interest. Okay. So anyway, all these scenarios are addressed. Again, there are examples that address this. And then in the agreement itself, it attempts to, hopefully we have addressed these various scenarios in a way that you can figure out how the percentages are voted. And again, there's a situation where you could have, for voting purposes, less than 100% because and the remaining members will vote proportionately, because you could have a member who dies. So that person is no longer a member. They can't, the assigning member, the transferring member has died. That member can no longer vote the interest. But if the recipient of that interest is not admitted as a member, then that person under our approach is an assignee. We have retained, as Trenton talked about this morning, we have retained the distinction between an assignee and a member, and retained the basic statutory approach to the consequences of assignment. So again, if you had a person who assigned their interest, or it happened, say, through a death, then that person would no longer be able to vote the interest. The assignee who hasn't been admitted will not be able to vote the interest. And that means that the remaining members whose percentages don't add up to 100, for purposes of voting, they will be all the voting interests. And so you would look at, you know, a majority of their interests. That would be the pie for purposes of the voting. So anyway, just, you know, just to point out, just to flag these issues and to think about how you want them to be addressed, how in your particular circumstances the parties would want to address these issues. That's the point of this.
I'm going to just say as a side note, too, the agreements, and by the way, we have three model agreements, one for manager-managed multiple members, one for member-managed with multiple members, and then one for a single member. So we kind of give you three concepts there, and they're slightly different provisions between the three to give you different ideas about how to handle things, and also kind of thinking through between the two of us what would be the most logical way that that the small business owners or a small group of partners would, or LLC members would want to deal with those issues. There was talk yesterday about quite a bit in the nuts and bolts about units. We don't call the interest in these partnership agreements units. We just look at the people's percentage interests. Bob and I did a whole talk the year before, I can't remember exactly, but a few years ago, sometime recently, you can probably find it on the UT website, about units and some of the issues that arise. Units can be a useful tool, but there also can be some problems with units, or some traps or gotchas when you decide to call the interest in the partnership units and treat them a little bit more like stock. That's not in our agreement. We didn't try to deal with that.